Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Traumatic Cognitive Dissonance Healing, from an Abusive Relationship with a Disordered Personality by Peter Salerno PsyD, is a trauma-focused self-help and psychoeducational guide for people trying to make sense of an abusive relationship marked by severe manipulation and emotional instability. The book centers on what it calls traumatic cognitive dissonance, a persistent mental clash in which a survivor holds incompatible beliefs about the same partner, such as remembering moments of affection while also living through coercion, deception, and harm. That internal conflict can fuel confusion, self-doubt, and difficulty leaving or staying gone, framing this experience alongside trauma bonding. The author describes how patterns like intermittent reinforcement, gaslighting, blame shifting, and shifting narratives can intensify attachment while eroding self-trust. The purpose is both explanatory and practical to help readers name the dynamics, reduce shame, and begin rebuilding self-authority, clearer thinking, and healthier relational expectations, often with professional support when needed. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, traumatic cognitive dissonance as a survival state of confusion. A central contribution of the book is its focus on traumatic cognitive dissonance as more than ordinary ambivalence. In a disordered, abusive relationship, contradictory messages and experiences can become chronic affection is paired with cruelty, promises are paired with betrayals, and accountability is replaced by denial. The survivor may attempt to resolve the mismatch by questioning their own perceptions, minimizing harm, or searching for the version of the partner that seemed loving. The result is not simply mixed feelings, but a destabilized sense of what is real and what is safe. The book emphasizes that this confusion is often reinforced by manipulation tactics that keep the survivor off balance and emotionally preoccupied. By naming the dissonance as an expected psychological response to prolonged emotional pressure, the framework helps reduce self-blame and reframes confusion as a sign of exposure to coercive dynamics rather than personal weakness. This conceptual clarity can become a first step in recovery because it encourages readers to rebuild trust in their internal signals, restore coherent narratives, and make decisions based on patterns rather than isolated moments of kindness. Secondly, trauma bonding and intermittent reinforcement in abusive cycles. The book places traumatic cognitive dissonance within the broader reality of trauma bonding, where attachment strengthens through alternating reward and threat. When warmth, attention, or reconciliation appear unpredictably after episodes of harm, the relationship can start to feel emotionally addictive. The survivor learns to chase relief and brief returns of connection, which can overshadow the overall trajectory of abuse. This pattern is especially potent when the partner uses affection as a reset button without meaningful repair, creating a loop of rupture and temporary calm. The book highlights how intermittent reinforcement can condition a person to tolerate escalating boundary violations, because the nervous system becomes oriented toward regaining the good moments. In that environment, leaving can trigger intense cravings, rumination, and longing that are often mistaken for proof of love rather than evidence of conditioning. Understanding trauma bonding as a learning process, not a moral failure, supports recovery by helping readers anticipate withdrawal-like symptoms, set expectations for emotional waves, and prioritize consistency and safety over intensity. The emphasis is on seeing the cycle clearly, so choices can be grounded in long-term patterns rather than short-term emotional relief. Thirdly, manipulation tactics that erode reality testing. A major theme is how verbal and emotional manipulation can fracture a survivor's reality testing and create dependence on the abuser's narrative. The book discusses common tactics associated with emotionally abusive relationships, including gaslighting, denial, blame shifting, and changing the story to avoid accountability. These behaviors do not merely hurt feelings, they can create a persistent state of self-doubt where the survivor spends significant energy trying to prove what happened, interpret contradictions, or earn fairness that never arrives. Over time, that struggle can narrow a person's world, making it harder to trust memory, judgment, or boundaries. The book also links these tactics to the wider experience of relating to disordered personalities, where empathy, responsibility, and stable self-representation may be inconsistent. Rather than encouraging amateur diagnosis, the practical point is pattern recognition. The survivor learns to evaluate actions and repeated outcomes instead of explanations, apologies, or dramatic justifications. By clarifying how manipulation works, the book supports psychological distancing, reduces the pull to engage in circular arguments, and reinforces the idea that clarity often comes from stepping out of the debate and observing what consistently happens when needs and limits are expressed. Fourthly, reclaiming self-authority and dismantling harmful conditioning, recovery in the book is framed as a process of reclaiming self-direction, especially after prolonged coercion has trained a person to prioritize the abuser's reactions over their own values. the author emphasizes rebuilding self-authority, the capacity to make decisions, set limits, and treat internal signals as valid. This includes challenging beliefs installed through repeated criticism, intimidation, or conditional affection, such as the idea that one is too sensitive, responsible for the abuser's behavior, or incapable of surviving alone. The book describes the inner critic as a common aftereffect of abuse, where the abuser's voice becomes internalized and continues the pattern even after separation. Healing, therefore, involves both cognitive and behavioral practice, noticing automatic self-attack, replacing it with fairer interpretations, and taking small actions that reinforce competence and autonomy. Progress is presented as iterative rather than instant, requiring patience and repetition to build new associations that link safety with consistency instead of volatility. Professional support such as psychotherapy is positioned as often helpful, particularly when trauma symptoms, anxiety, or persistent rumination complicate the process. The overall aim is to restore agency so the survivor can orient toward relationships and environments that reward honesty, respect, and stability. Lastly, understanding disordered relationship patterns, including deceit and infidelity. The book addresses how certain abusive dynamics can intersect with traits often associated with cluster B patterns, including chronic deception, lack of remorse, and entitlement. One application discussed is the way infidelity and hidden behavior may function not only as isolated betrayals, but as part of a broader pattern of manipulation and self-serving. Rulemaking. For survivors, this can deepen traumatic cognitive dissonance because the partner may simultaneously insist on loyalty, deny evidence, and blame the survivor for suspicion. The value of the discussion is not in labeling, but in helping readers understand why logical explanations or emotional appeals may repeatedly fail when the relationship structure rewards domination, impression management, or control. By focusing on observable behavior, the book encourages readers to stop treating repeated betrayals as misunderstandings that can be fixed through better communication alone. Instead, it invites a sober assessment of motivation, accountability, and follow-through over time. This perspective can be painful, but it is also stabilizing. It supports the move from hope, based on occasional good moments, to decisions based on consistent ethics and reciprocity. In recovery, that shift helps survivors protect boundaries, reduce susceptibility to future manipulation, and set clearer criteria for trust in new relationships. In conclusion, this book is best suited for people recovering from emotionally abusive relationships where confusion, self-doubt, and lingering attachment feel disproportionate to what they logically know. Survivors who suspect their partner show traits associated with disordered personality patterns, including chronic manipulation and shifting narratives, may find the traumatic cognitive dissonance framework especially clarifying. Mental health professionals and trauma-informed educators can also use it as a lens for understanding why clients may struggle to leave, relapse into contact, or defend an abuser despite significant harm. The practical benefit is orientation. The concepts help readers name what happened, recognize conditioning such as trauma bonding, and begin restoring self-authority through repeated reality-based choices. The intellectual benefit is a coherent map of how contradictory experiences can be engineered and maintained, and why clarity often returns only after distance and consistent support. Compared with many general abuse recovery books, it stands out for emphasizing the specific mental conflict created by abusive inconsistency and for connecting that conflict to manipulation patterns commonly seen in relationships. Affected by cluster B traits, the focus remains on recovery and empowerment rather than on sensationalizing pathology, encouraging readers to prioritize safety, consistency, and professional help when symptoms or risk factors are significant. If you would like to support Peter Salerno's PsyD, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.